The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, and this is a show I've really been looking forward to doing for some time now. Sister Deidre Byrne, who's more commonly known as Sister Deidre, is joining us. And Sister has had many callings by God, many vocations. She is obviously a sister. She is a surgeon and was a soldier. So we've got a lot to talk about, Sister. Welcome to AM 1260 The Rock and Cleveland Catholic Radio.
Well, hello to Ohio, and thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You're with the Little Workers of the Sacred Heart, but that it took you a while to come to the idea that that's where you needed to be, and actually you're joining an order came after a whole lot of other ideas. Tell me about growing up in your family and how you initially were formed in the faith.
I'm one of eight. I grew up in McLean, Virginia. My father was a thoracic surgeon. Mom was a stay-at-home mom, but hardly ever home because she was always picking one kid up from one one sport event to another.
Yep.
And but both were very rooted in their Catholic faith. They were both daily mass goers. As long as I can remember, in their younger years, we would pray the rosary together. As we got busier in high school and whatnot, we didn't do as much of that, but it still had an effect on us. When my father was older, Dad and I would walk together, pray the rosary together. And my mother, who's 98 still, as soon as the churches opened up last year, she was Ubering or getting a ride to Mass every day. So she's still got the deep faith that, and that always has an effect on all of us. So basically, in regards to my vocation, although I entered later in life, I had always had the calling. As you know, mothers always know their kids best. And my mother said my vocation started in utero. And I used to do things as a young girl that would be sort of oriented toward service, doing things with children with Down syndrome or working with the homeless in soup kitchens. And both my parents were very involved, and especially my mother. Dad was busy working as a surgeon, but Mom devoted a lot of her time in doing a community-oriented service. We had just an incredible foundation. Both my mother and father were wonderful role models.
I read a quote that you had from an article that I read about you. Is family is a garden where vocations grow. That's a beautiful quote.
Yeah. I don't know if that was my quote, but I've heard it before, and it's so true. And that's why it's very important. I think it's really great to encourage families to, you know, in our Catholic faith, contraception is not approved. And so when families are truly living their Catholic faith and living and open to having children, does open the doors to having many children and the doors to vocations, to married life and the religious life. Mm-hmm. In fact, in my family, my youngest brother is a priest. So we had two religious vocations in our family. But as he says, two of them went into religious life and the rest are religious. So
we have a family in Cleveland where there are three brothers who are all priests.
And there's one here in Virginia, in Maryland, three brothers. Two are priests and one's in the seminary.
That's wonderful. But yeah. So out of high school, you didn't go right to the seminary. Tell me what happened then. I know you went to to Georgetown.
Miraculously, and I say that in all honesty, it was a miracle. I got into medical school, and I went straight from went to high school, I went to college, went to Virginia Tech, and then straight on to med school. And because my father was, you know, there were many of us in college at the time, I went ahead and joined the military. They had a wonderful, they still do have a program, health professional scholarship program. So young people in school, med school, can sign their commission, become a lieutenant in the Army, and then they serve afterwards when they finish their residency training. So that's what I did. And I initially did family medicine and served at Fort Belvoir and overseas, Sinai Peninsula, and wonderful places like that, Korea. And then later on, I had entered again, but that's probably, I'm jumping the story a bit. But so I had about 9 active years before I went into an inactive mode, signing out in Korea, but not resigning my commission, because I always wanted to be free and open to reentering if I was needed. And lo and behold, September 11th, that's when things started happening, where I started becoming more active in the military again.
Rising to the level of colonel.
Right. But that was, you know, after I had actually entered, and I didn't even realize that I had been passed over because I had gone through surgical training, and I didn't have the intent to go back in. I was really focused on what I felt God was calling me to do, which was religious life. And so that's what I had focused on. But God always has a plan that may not always be what we think clearly. But I did see myself often in prayer, you know, wearing a military uniform. And this is before I met the Little Workers of Sacred Hearts, which is the heart of Jesus and Mary.
How did you come to that order?
Yeah, I met a priest who knew them personally. He introduced them to me, and they were very humble little Italian sisters. 80% are school teachers. I didn't think of them as an order to join because I thought that's what they were involved with and they weren't medical. But during my surgical training years, I had communicated with a few medical communities. But during that time, I started to realize that several of these communities were really not what I would say. They weren't wearing habits. They felt they wanted to be priests. So it was basically Cardinal Hickey, who was my spiritual director at the time, called it a feminist virus that infected many of these religious orders.
Of course, Cardinal Hickey came from Cleveland.
Did he?
He was bishop here in Cleveland, yes.
My goodness. Well, he was, when I was a surgical resident at Georgetown, and he was cardinal in Washington at the time, he'd come back from Lourdes, and I happened to be the chief resident on that service, in the heart surgery service. And so I was blessed to be able to be there during his open heart surgery, and I helped. I basically was the first assist for his open heart surgery, and I managed him postoperatively in the ICU. In those days, we were on call every other night, so mm-hmm. we became very close. I asked him if he would help me in my discernment. So he became my spiritual director, in a sense.
Wonderful man.
I get people when they're under the knife, when they have to say uncle, I guess.
Sister, stay right there. We're going to come back after a commercial break. Okay. We're on God Calling. Okay. Sister Dee Dee Byrne joining us. Stay tuned. Sister Dee Dee Byrne joining us on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Thank you for joining us. Sister, you talked about your interactions with Cardinal Hickey, who had been the bishop here in Cleveland. But it's interesting. You had other priests, a Jesuit priest, help you along the journey as well, because I think there was a time when you were thought of the Missionaries of Charity, and Father John Hardin said, you're not going to join the Missionaries of Charity because God gave you this gift of medicine. We need Catholic doctors. He'll find the right home for you. The key to that, I think, is just he'll find the right home for you, and I think you truly believe that.
Absolutely, and I didn't even really, I'm embarrassed to say, at that time, I didn't even know really who he was, and here I was talking to a saint. And later on, when I entered our community, our sisters used to listen to his tapes all the time as part of their retreat work time. You know, because in our community we have a retreat the first Sunday of every month. They would use his lectures. And I went, oh my gosh, this is the priest who would really help me, guide me to the Little Workers in one sense, because I basically changed my direction from Missionaries of Charity, which really does make a lot of sense. And I do take care of the sisters. Many of them come from all parts, and they're here in Washington, and we have a great relationship with the Catholic Charities program where we can help take care of them. I still do general surgery, so I've operated on many of those sisters, and because of my primary care hat, I also take care of them. In fact, the whole group of them got sick with COVID not too long ago, and we started them on the early treatment, which I know is like a taboo thing to talk about, but I witnessed before my eyes all these sisters and the volunteers and the patients that they take care of miraculously turn around in 72 hours with hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And that's when I really became a proponent for this early treatment for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So I take care of them. They call, they have my phone number on speed dial anytime they need help.
Well, you have multiple vocations from the standpoint of soldier, surgeon, and sister, but the bottom line to all of those vocations, I think, is service to others.
Christ-centered service, yes. We have to put, you know, we have to really make sure that our Lord is the reason why we do what we do. Our community, our little house here in D.C., we have three separate hours of adoration because we're a part, we're like a nursing home, so everything is centered on the Eucharist, whether it's Holy Mass in the morning or adoration through the day. And it's through that that we can really help hear what God is asking us to do one day at a time.
I'm very interested in exploring kind of the two of the vocations, I suppose, being an Army officer and obviously a sister. And you've been on close to the battle fronts. Does it make you question your faith?
Oh, no, not at all. It's just I'm always in awe that the Lord allows me to be in places that maybe not everyone has the opportunity to be at and where we can bring the love of Christ. So my last assignment in the Army was in Afghanistan, and we had great translators. They were Afghani doctors, and one up came up to me, and they said, you know, you just seem, you Americans all are really good, but you seem a little different, and I said, do you know what a sister is? Because we couldn't wear a uniform, and I couldn't wear my habit there.
Sure.
And I said, well, do you know what a religious sister is? And they said, no. And I said, well, do you know Mother Teresa? Because I figured everybody would know Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And they said, no, we've never heard of her.
Oh, my goodness.
So they are so isolated. You know, they were basically shut down with news, which, you know, doesn't that sound a little bit like what's happening here in our own country now? If you don't have a voice that seems to go with the mainstream, you're going to be closed out. And so it really made me realize that we have a lot of work to do in this world to bring the Lord to people. So I explained to them, gave them a little story, you know, told about Mother Teresa and about the work I do, that I don't get married. That's always a big shocker to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get married, but that way I can devote my life to God, and we believe in the Father, Son. I was basically catechizing them while I was there, too. We were 6 miles from the Pakistan border, so we were attacked frequently. And we had three or four of us that would meet every day in our chapel to pray the rosary, to pray the readings, and the Father showed up, which he was always in harm's way. If he came to say Mass, we won out. If not, we would pray the gospel and the readings. And by the end of the 3 months that I was there, we had over 100 people joining us in prayer. People do seek love and the love of Christ, and if we can just bring a little bit of that, a little light in the dark world, you know, we can move mountains. God moves through us.
What's interesting is that even without wearing your habit, they notice something different. So your vocation, the little sisters, showed through. They saw something different in you, something which, as you've said, is God working through you.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they see the Lord through me and not me, because, you know, we want to stay as little as possible and out of the way. And yes, I mean, I was really grateful for that. You know, St. Philip Neri said, Lord, don't leave me for a moment. I can't be trusted. So we have to be a little careful about, you know, being a little prideful for maybe how holy we are, when maybe in the fact, you know, we need a little more work of humility or whatnot. So, you know, our American soldiers are all, I mean, so many of them are God-fearing, and young people that do enter religious life after serving in the military, because service is a part of religious life and service is a part of the military life for the most part.
You're working in the clinic now in an area with not a lot of resources, but abroad you were very resource limited, certainly on the front lines or close to the front lines. And you are here too. Was that military training, is that a blessing to you to make do in the clinic and to provide services to people?
In the military, a lot of times we do have, in the hospital, we have a lot of everything. Because when I worked in, even overseas, we had really good support. It's really the missionary work that helped me get by with what I had. And I'd always inevitably bring something like a chest tubes or Foley catheters, and I would use everything I brought. It's almost as if the Lord was saying, okay, you're going to see this case, so you need this. You're going to bring that case, you need that. So it was really more of the missionary life that would help me be a little bit more flexible in the military life.
So well, you had the training and kind of knew a little bit of what to expect, but I suspect also some of that was maybe a little divine intervention as well. Sister, can you stay with us? We'll be right back after a commercial break. Sure. You're on God Calling, AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Sister Dee Dee Byrne joining us from the Little Workers of Sacred Heart. We've talked a lot about her various vocations, being a soldier, surgeon, and sister. And sister, you have some strong beliefs, I know, about pro-life movement. A wonderful quote that I saw from you that I hadn't seen from anybody else was that you were also pro-eternal life. Talk about that some.
Well, we're not meant for this world, and so we have some choices. There is heaven. We have a purgatory, thank God, because that gets us purified for heaven. But there is a hell. I think part of the problem in this world is the poor catechesis for our Catholics. For those who are not Catholic and they're Christian, many times some of our Christians are beautiful non-Catholic Christians. I think I would hold onto their ankles to go to heaven. But there are a lot who are misguided. And when I'm in the clinic, even if I'm planning to do hernia or gallbladder surgery, and I find out that they're either cohabitating or they're contracepting, I tell them, good news, bad news, I'm going to take care of your hernia. But, you know, you're coming to a clinic with the name Catholic Charities, and your doctor is wearing a habit. I'm not only a doctor for your body, but for your alma, in Spanish meaning your soul. Mm-hmm. And so I really, shame on me if I don't tell you that you're living in sin, or if they're contracepting, especially if they're using things like the intrauterine device, and I explain to them how it works, mm-hmm. they're pretty shocked, because most of my patients are hardworking Latinos that, you know, are wonderful, and they are God-loving people. But I have to guide them and tell them, we have to speak truth. Even if it's speaking truth about those who are supporting abortion at high levels in our politicians, mm-hmm. People are afraid they want to do a soft shoe around that issue. But thank God for Archbishop Corleone and how strong he stood up this week and speaking out about Nancy Pelosi. And so I think that what I mean by pro-life and pro-eternal life is obviously I want to defend the life of the unborn from the womb to the tomb, but also we have to really reflect on what the future is, how we live our life so that we can have eternal life with our Lord. We have to be his word of truth with love.
No matter what the venue.
Mm-hmm.
Another quote that I read, you were told when you first entered, you put everybody in your charism of the little workers. You put everybody between the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and the Lord will take care of them. Really interesting quote.
Well, I was told that when I first entered. You know, Sister Licha, who is my superior, and she's still with us now. She's in her late 80s, came here from southern Italy on a naval warship. Converted, and she's a wonderful person, and that's what she told us. She said that was basically our charism. We catechize, but no matter what we do, we have to put everyone between the heart of Jesus and Mary. It's sort of a comforting place to be, so we have to welcome everyone that comes in our home, and it's not a have to, I mean, like you're forced, but more of like we want the heart, the desire to do that, to bring Christ to people no matter where they are. And you always want to complete, you know, the mother and the son are inseparable. So
how does your living as in community, how does that strengthen those beliefs and those actions to make you more comfortable? Another quote, he said, you're just old-fashioned girls at the Little Workers.
Well, I meant by old-fashioned girl, well, first of all, with community, it's like one big family. You know, you've got to try your best to keep peace, and you know, we're all not, none of us are coming from the same background, and mm-hmm. so we have to try to learn. It's a real journey to act charity and holiness when you live in community. But what I mean by an old-fashioned girl, and that was the words I told Cardinal Hickey when I couldn't find a home in the church, because some of these medical communities were giving out condoms and birth control pills. They were not really what I feel. They weren't living in community. The daily mass was not important to them. I grew up with the intent of knowing that the Holy Eucharist is critical. And I was told in prayer, I was given the guidance that really I needed to be with a community that wore a habit so that I could be a visible sign to those who needed to see Christ. So living in community, wearing habits, daily mass, that sort of thing is sort of like the pre-Vatican II sort of concept. And some of these new sisters, new communities that are flourishing, that have grown after the Vatican II, are flourishing because they live that very solid spiritual life. Our community is over 130 years old, and our founders have been beatified. So we have weathered the storm.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that our sisters were so little and so humble that after when Vatican II occurred and they were told they had to modify the habit, they all said no. And then when they said, well, you have to do something, so they took a little red stripe off the sleeve because the red habit, I mean, the habit that we wear today is the same habit our founders wore in the late 1800s. And so I felt a lot of consolation with that, to know that through all the storms, call it the Vatican II hurricane, they weathered that storm, and they were so humble, all they felt was a little breeze on their head. That, to me, was reassuring.
At your clinic, few patients have insurance, but they pay what they can. But it's interesting, you're considering the whole person, because them paying whatever they can, no matter how little that is, helps with their dignity. And that's taking care of the entire person, not just their
I believe that, yes.
medical maladies.
Right. I don't charge personally. I do free care for the poor, because it's really wonderful to see how God will give us, you know, so much. He's so generous. But the clinic where I serve as a volunteer does charge a little bit for what I do, so that can help pay the electric bills and some salaries. But it does help with the human dignity. And also, it shows some value with what we can give them. But it's not a gouging price, where some have been told that to get their gallbladder removed, it would be $10,000, and they can't afford that. So I think it's a win-win.
Well, you've had an incredible career that continues, being able to serve the poor as well as our incredible soldiers. Which
absolutely.
I know a little bit about. But in any case, Sister, where can they find out more about the order, the Little Sisters, Little Workers, I'm sorry.
We have a website that needs to be updated, but it's our name of our community, the Little Workers of the Sacred Hearts with an S. And that will kind of show a little bit of our work. And then we have a site for our physical therapy clinic, because we run a pro bono physical therapy clinic in our convent. That would be lwshppclinic.org, I think, org or com.
Okay. Sister Dee Dee Byrne, thank you very much for joining us. You're a busy lady, thank you for taking time to talk to us here on AM 1260 The Rock. God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. We hope to see you next week.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.